She's a business mogul.
Number one.
And wellness expert.
How can I help?
And now Chantel Ray and her amazing guests are here to guide you on your wellness journey.
Time to level up.
Welcome to the Waste Away Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to today's episode, and I'm so excited. We have Brad Kearns. His website is bradkearns.com, and today we're talking about two meals in a day, what happens when you get in a stall. We're talking about the advantages and disadvantages of a keto diet versus the paleo diet. We're talking about constipation and so much more. So we are so excited to have you, Brad.
Chantel, it's been a while, but I appreciate all the great work you're doing, your positive energy. And as we talked about before going live, we are going to get deep into these issues and get things settled and clear for the listeners, because there's so much confusion and controversy when we're talking about the latest dietary strategy and the fitness craze and all the things that are happening. We're getting bombarded with messaging about how to get fit and healthy and eat right. So I want to simplify things and give people some really important takeaways that are sensible, doable, something they can embrace that is not a strain or a stress, because that's where we, you know, get derailed when we push ourselves too hard with an exercise regimen, whether it's a personal trainer or going to those 6 a.m. classes and you did great from January to the end of March. And then by April Fool's Day, you were sitting there frustrated and going back to your Ben and Jerry's pints in the evening. So a correct approach that feels sustainable and psychologically pleasing to the individual is the key for both diet and exercise and everything else in life.
Awesome. Well, I know that you and Mark Sisson both have written and published numerous best-selling books, two of them which are Two Meals a Day and then also The Keto Reset Diet. What I want to talk about is knowing after writing that book, because I've written four books myself, and one of the books I wrote was One Meal in a Tasting. And because I believe as a woman, instead of this idea of two full meals in a day, you need to have it where it's like you're eating one meal and then it's more of a tasting where you're not having this huge meal. So as I interviewed thousands and thousands of women who were thin, they weren't on these yo-yo diets, they stayed thin their whole life, that's just how they ate. It wasn't like they were like, oh, I only eat one meal in a tasting, or I only eat two meals a day. But when you actually sat down with them and said, what'd you eat yesterday? What'd you eat the day before? What did the day before look like? They were like, well, you know, I didn't really start eating till around noon. And then I had, you know, something small, you know, or whatever it was. That's what we figured out. So let's start by talking about those two books and what are some things that you, your daily life, like what does your daily life look like and how are you maybe still doing the things on those two books, or has anything changed?
Thanks, Chantel. Boy, a tasting sounds so elegant and fancy. I feel like I want to get invited to Chantel's world and Chantel's book, because I think that's going to work. I love it. What a great angle. So all these strategies, just like the clever book title you mentioned and our efforts to embrace a two meals a day book title, is contemplated to finally once and for all reject this silly three meals a day or three squares a day that we've been programmed to believe is the path to health for the last 150 years or whatever. The three meals a day came from the Industrial Revolution, the factory era. So you ate breakfast before you went off to bust your butt all day in the factory. And of course, you had a lunch break from a hard manual labor job, which those listening that are engaged in a manual labor type job, heck yeah, you're going to take a break at lunch and you're going to chow down. So I'm not going to make a blanket recommendation for anybody, because those of us who are on our feet all day and busy and need a break in the middle of the day, but the main listening audience is probably in a office type experience, not burning a ton of calories, just working. And so we certainly don't need to shovel food down our throats on regular intervals in order to be healthy. Furthermore, the main problem that we're seeing in modern life there's a term coined called energy toxicity. which implies that we store too many calories and we burn too few. Notice I didn't say eat too many calories, because really what we want to focus on is the what we do with the calories. And when you eat a Twinkie that's 200 calories, or sit down to a bowl of fresh fruit that's 200 calories, those are not equivalent, because the body does something different when it consumes processed foods. Processed foods interfere with your ability to manufacture energy internally, with your ability to burn stored body fat. So when you shovel processed foods down your mouth, even if you're on a calorie restriction diet and you're devotedly counting that you're only hitting this number of calories a day, but you're eating crappy powdered meals from a very prominent weight loss program regimen, or going to the store and you know, getting stuff that's in a package or a box or frozen or has been altered, it throws off your metabolism to the extent that you have a greater propensity to store fat instead of burn it, and also to the extent that your appetite gets screwed up such that you're going to consume too many more of these processed calories because your metabolism's all messed up. So rather than focus on total caloric intake, or even sweating the need to eat in a restrictive window, like don't eat anything until noon and then you're going to succeed, it's more important to focus on the food choices that you're making and have a really devoted and diligent elimination of all manner of nutrient deficient, difficult to digest processed foods. And we put those in three main categories. So if you're taking notes, you can click your pen now. It is refined industrial seed oils, refined grains, and refined sugars. And so many of the processed packaged frozen fast foods are made with these agents. So if you resolve to eliminate those from your diet, you're going to be trending over to the foods that are coming from the ground or the earth, the nutritious and well-sourced animal foods, and all the superstars from the plant kingdom, especially things like fresh fruit that are easy to digest, give you a lot of nutrition, and give you that satiety factor because they're full of fiber and water too.
Did you guys know that 97% of Americans are deficient in at least one mineral? It's true. You need more than a dozen minerals for your body to function at its best, but with the standard American diet, it's almost impossible. So here's where Beam Minerals comes in. Guess what? All you have to do, take one little shot of this one little shot of this one, and guess what? It looks like this, but it tastes like water. Take one shot, and boom, in 30 seconds a day, you're getting an entire thing of minerals instead of an entire cabinet of supplement bottles. So with Beam Minerals, we make mineral balance simple. So let's talk about kind of a day in the life of Brad Kearns. Like, really, like, take us kind of from morning to night of, like, when do you eat and what are you eating? And, you know, have you said there's certain things that these are an absolute no, like, I'm not eating grains, I'm not eating sugar, I'm not eating this, to sometimes I'll have this, sometimes I'll have that, but the majority of my diet is X.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah. The first thing I'm going to do is take us to a fork in the road so that you can benefit from my own story and relate it personally. And I'm an aging athlete. I'm trying to compete in the old man's division of track and field and sprinting and high jumping. So I'm a peak performer. I've been so my whole life. Maybe not everybody listening can relate directly, but my sole focus is to perform and recover and maintain my fitness level, because of course that's going to be my path to health, longevity, energy, and vitality. So I don't have a concern with energy toxicity that unfortunately most people do. So those of you listening who have healthy body composition, good blood work, you're going to be focusing on different goals than someone who is sitting here frustrated by the inability to drop that excess belly fat or you know, trying to get to ideal body composition. So when I'm talking about my own diet, I am going for the most nutritious foods I can find, the most nutrient-dense meals I can find, without any concern about eating windows or restricting certain macronutrients, like you restrict carbohydrates for ketogenic benefits. And of course, I've tried all that stuff and done it, especially when researching and talking about a book. But today, I'm trying to find the most nutritious foods and eat them to my heart's content. What happens is I'm not a slob who's stuffing my face all day, because my meals are so nutritious and so satisfying that I feel great, and I'm consuming a reasonable amount of calories, not an excessive amount. So generally, for many, many years, I'd go through the morning hours, like many people involved in the enthusiasm of fasting or keto, and I wouldn't eat until my first midday meal, and that's great, and that works really well to keep you focused and regulated on eating an optimal amount of calories. Today, I wake up and I make a devoted effort to make a nutritious, high-protein smoothie. I'll also have some fresh fruit or some other nutrition in the morning to help fuel my workouts and help me recover better. So that's a personal choice. I might have a big meal of eggs for breakfast too. If I'm having fruit and protein, that's one day. And then the other day might be a sit-down meal because I'm usually working out in the morning. But the important takeaway there for everyone is that protein is our primary dietary requirement. And whatever your guest is for next week and the next week, no one's going to argue that. We need protein to survive, and that is our most important dietary requirement to get good, easy to digest and assimilate protein. That's from the animal source, obviously, but if you're a plant-based person, you can work hard and find the most nutritious and easy to assimilate plant sources of protein, but you're going to have to eat a lot more. It's more tricky. So we're talking about the superfoods of eggs and red meat and protein supplements like whey protein. You can get protein from the best dairy sources, but that is the number one goal. It's highly satiating, so you're going to be unlikely to overconsume the snacks and the nutrient deficient foods that are often a combination of carbohydrates and fat and low in protein. Think about any snack or treat: potato chips, cheesecake, ice cream. The list can go on and on, and it's mostly a combination of carbs and fat that hit those dopamine receptors on the brain. They feel great, but they don't give you the nutrition that you desperately need. So I'm going for protein in the morning, and then the other meals. You're right. I'm probably on a tasting regimen, and then of course a main centerpiece meal always in the evening, and sometimes at midday as well. But the pattern and the rhythm that I'm in, I would call it an animal-based, nutrient-dense diet with sufficient amount of carbohydrates to fuel my active, energetic lifestyle. And that way, anyone can plug into that message and realize that if they get their protein needs met, they're going to feel satisfied. They're not going to feel hungry and tired and brain fog. And then you consume the energy, whether it's from predominantly fat or predominantly nutritious carbohydrates, you consume the energy that you need to fuel your busy day and the calories that you do burn.
Well, and you're burning an extraordinary amount of calories. Like now, even today at your, how can you share how old you are now, Brad?
I'm willing to share. I'm 59. I feel fine. I can look forward to aging gracefully and fighting this battle. But before I pop off and say something like, age is just a number, I love the quote from Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, where she says, "Oh, you want to say age is just a number? Let me tell you something. Age is the number." And so I need to be highly respectful of my individual needs at this age. And I'm no longer the young guy that could push my body super hard and get away with it. So now I have to be very careful with my rest and recovery cycles, my nutrition, and the training patterns that make sure I don't overdo it. And we might hit that a little bit later, but there's two main problems in the exercise realm in modern citizens. And one of them is not moving enough and not exercising enough. And the other one is pushing too hard and getting into a spiral where you mess up your hormones and get into trouble because you're doing too many of those 6 a.m. classes and pushing your body too hard and feeling drained and depleted and eating too many tubs of Ben and Jerry's later that same day.
Did you guys know that your thyroid's main food is iodine? And guess what? Mercury and other toxins gobble up your selenium, and your thyroid glands need selenium to convert iodine to thyroxine. So if you have mercury fillings and with all the toxins and mold, your selenium just gets gobbled up. So here's the bottom line. I take something called Peak Thyroid. It's got iodine, it's got copper, and it's got selenium. Everything you need to get your thyroid back to functioning without medicine. So go to ChantelRayWay.com/upgraded formulas. Use the coupon code ChantelRay to get a huge discount. Well, and we had Mark Sisson on, and if you missed that episode, you guys need to go back and listen to that episode. But one of the things that I really believe in, and I think that, you know, as I'm getting older as well, he talked about the power of walking and just how as you get older, you have to focus on walking because it's the number one thing that you can burn calories, but then you're not so ravenous. You know, a lot of these people, they go to the gym and then they do some kind of crazy workout. Then they're so ravenous. So then they start double eating because they've gotten so ravenous. And then they've gotten injured and all of that. So talk about just as you're getting older, someone who's kind of in their late 40s to late 50s, kind of what that looks like of a workout that's best for weight loss.
Thank you. Yeah. So the deal here with diet, we'll move on quickly, but in closing, I'm going to say, focus more on what you are eliminating rather than nitpicking the exact strategy and whether you should go keto and count your carbs. You just want to eliminate those big three nutrient-deficient processed foods and then choose the foods that you enjoy that are nutritious, and you're going to do just fine. Whether you eat in the morning or wait until noon or whatever it is, as long as what's going in your mouth is nutritious, your brain and your body, everything's going to work out fine for you if you can eliminate those processed foods. Then we come to this category of fitness and movement. And many experts today are in agreement that the obligation to just move more in general everyday life is more important to your health, longevity, and weight loss than adhering to a devoted fitness regimen where you have to hire the trainer or join CrossFit or get on the bicycle seat at 6 a.m. in the freezing cold wintertime. So this counts little efforts as well as organized, scheduled walking your dog for 5 miles every afternoon or whatever big goals you have. And so when we can get up from the desk and take little breaks to rush up and down the staircase 2 or 3 times, and then go back to work, because I know we're busy and I'm not going to ask too much, but we must keep that body in a steady state of movement throughout the day and avoid these prolonged periods of stillness. Here's what the research shows happens when you sit for prolonged periods. You start to bake systemic inflammation. And I know from many of your past shows, the readers have been listeners educated that systemic inflammation is the root cause of all disease. It's the thing that causes you to be deficient at burning fat and feeling tired, feeling hungry, getting brain fog. It's driven strongly by lack of movement. And you can fix this just by getting up and hustling around the office courtyard for 3 or 4 or 7 minutes and then going back and doing what you got to do in life, or getting out of the car after a 45-minute commute or whatever's going on, or you're driving your kids over to water polo practice and then you sit in the stands for 3 hours and play games on your phone. Instead, go over into the corner and do some squats and do some jumps and do something with your body so that you're kind of flying under the radar. I'm not saying you have to go crush yourself at these big workouts, but you're active and energetic and you do little things to sprinkle in throughout the day that are not a big ask. They're not super strenuous. You're not going to be exhausted, but you're going to change your physiology. You're going to guard against this chronic system-wide low-level inflammation that happens when you sit too long, which also screws up your appetite and makes it more tempting to go and hit those snacks and treats and things that give you a quick energy spike and then cause problems over the long term. So it's the critical obligation to move more in everyday life. And as Mark said, this centerpiece goal is to walk, because that is the long lost, forgotten, prominent attribute of human lifestyle. And today we can drive everywhere, or, you know, figure out ways where we don't have to move much at all. We can click a button and the food's delivered to our front door, but we have to kind of orchestrate artificial, if you want to call them that, artificial opportunities to walk more in everyday life. Here's the best thing about that you alluded to when you posed the question. It's not strenuous to walk. There's no impact trauma where you're going to get injured like you do running over and over again when you just slow down to a walk. And the thing that we've been misled about is that you don't have to sweat or feel strain to get a productive workout. And in fact, when you're sweating and feeling strain every time you go and do cardio, you're overdoing it. You're drifting out of fat burning and into sugar burning, and that's causing you to overeat and stuff your face. So walking is an excellent cardiovascular training session that is developing the aerobic system or the fat burning system without those risks and those drawbacks of pushing yourself too hard. Do you burn a ton of calories walking? No, of course not. And you can eat one Twinkie and that covers your 30-minute walk. You're at a, you know, if you're counting calories, which you shouldn't, you're not going to be too impressed. But what walking does is it changes your metabolism. It makes you good at burning fat around the clock rather than relying on regular doses of sugar because your life is too stressful and your workouts are too stressful.
Let's talk about grains for just a second, because it was funny. I had dinner with a couple of friends, and a friend of mine just wrote a book. She's a plant-based fan. She's a fan of plant-based diet. And she just wrote a book and she's like, I'd love to be on your podcast and blah, blah, blah. And we were talking about grains. And I said, you know, grains, you know, everyone can agree. I mean, I've never had a person on the show that said seed oils are good, right? Like everyone's like seed oils are bad. Everyone's like sugar's bad. Everyone, you know, they all are on the same page on a lot of things. But there's two very controversial pieces. And one is, in her opinion, like healthy grains. Like she believes that healthy grains that are gluten-free are great for all kinds of things. And other people feel like grains are high in carbs, they're high in lectins, they cause joint pain, they cause inflammation. And so, you know, they, you know, people who are on the plant-based, they are big fans of eating healthy grains. So I want you to kind of talk about, you know, if somebody is on, just in general, what is your opinion of grains? What have you seen, you know, as far as people who have a lot of joint pain and inflammation? Are you a fan of it or not, and why?
I'm a fan of people taking responsibility for their own lives and testing and carefully noticing how foods affect their health. And so any expert who's going to throw down and say, this is the way you should do it, I want that to be superseded by your own personal experience. So the term healthy grains is nice to present it that way because there are heavily processed grains. And we know from best-selling books like Dr. William Davis' Wheat Belly that the gliadin protein contained in the modern wheat crop is potentially very destructive in the familiar realm of gluten intolerance, gluten sensitivity. Now, last weekend, I went to the farmer's market here. I'm visiting Los Angeles and met this guy who makes his own sourdough bread. And he's got his booth and he's about world peace and he's selling this fantastic bread. And we took it home. It was so delicious. And I don't think that's going to compromise my health. And for most people, except for those who are already gluten sensitive and have done some damage to the gut where they have to be very careful and possibly eliminate all forms of grains for a long time until they have a good health status. But for most people, or for many people, you know, good, healthy, you know, fresh baked products are probably not going to destroy their health. One thing I will say though, and we can get the microscopes out and talk to the laboratory scientists, the nutrient density of grains pales in comparison to the true nutrient superstars of the planet. So if you put salmon eggs or a slice of grass-fed liver or grass-fed ground beef or pasture-raised eggs or you know, seaweed and those products and the fermented foods and the kombucha and the sauerkraut, we're going to see that we have vastly more nutritional benefits from those type of foods than from any type of grain. But if you enjoy your life and you want to have a slice of sourdough bread with your four pasture-raised eggs like I did the other day, that's going to be a winning meal. But, you know, we get into problems when we systematically eliminate the most nutrient-dense foods on earth by objective measurement, for example, in the plant-based approach. And so those people are going to have to be working very hard and reflecting on their decisions that might be based on morality. So we're not going to challenge that, but you're going to have to work very hard to first get sufficient protein. Second, avoid the processed foods that might make up that calorie requirement because you're not eating the eggs and the ground beef and the oily cold water fish and all the things that give us a lot of nutrition and a lot of satiety.
Guys, I just want to interrupt for just a second, and I want you to hear Paul Saladino talk about why liver is so important. And if you don't like liver, we have another option for you.
Your ancestors were eating liver. And the reason that this sort of wisdom has been passed down is because liver is very nutritious. It's basically nature's multivitamin. If you look at the nutrients in meat, they're great. You've got zinc, you got B6, you got B12, you got some K2. But if you look at liver, it really complements what's in muscle meat. And there are many unique nutrients found in organs, specifically liver as a powerhouse of these, that are difficult to obtain outside of liver. Like meat and organs are like peanut butter and jelly. They just go together. They're supposed to be eaten together. The easiest way to eat liver is just to do it raw. If you don't want to eat liver raw, you can cook it. But the reason that I like to do it raw is because there are unique nutrients in liver that are probably somewhat degraded when you cook the liver.
This really is like the most nutrient-rich supplements that you can find. And they are amazing. I have tried them. I absolutely love them. So just go to heartandsoil.co, use the coupon code Chantel Ray, and save some money there.
I love what you just said, because for me, I know that if I have even an ounce of gluten, I am just on the floor. Like, my gut can't do it. I feel horrible. And so for me, I'm actually right now, we have a girl that helps us at the house. She's absolutely amazing, Susan. And she is making right now, I'm testing out homemade gluten-free sourdough bread. And so I really have been, like, if you think about the whole sourdough idea of it, that has, like, for me, I can really wrap my head around that and go, let's see, how do I feel if I make this fresh bread myself with the highest quality ingredients, and I'm just eating a little bit of it, but the rest of it, I'm eating, you know, organic pasture-raised eggs and, like you said, you know, grass-fed beef, and, you know, just adding a little bit into that. How does it make you feel? And one of the things, you know, that I'm so passionate about on this podcast is that I have different people come on the show and they say what works for them. What works for you may not work for me and may not work for someone listening. And so just because they're coming on saying, I'm only doing this, you have to see. I just feel like I want you to expand on that a little bit of trying out, how do I feel when I eat this? But the biggest key is, how do I feel when I eat this without overeating at all? Because that's, you know, you could overeat on, you know, eggs and protein and, you know, all kinds of stuff and still not feel good, right? So within moderation, making sure you're not overeating, but how do I feel when I eat X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, I mean, I also don't want to go too far down the self-quantification obsession and tracking and measure everything. Because there's so many freaking variables where one day, because your boyfriend was mean to you again and you feel like crap, you're going to eat a meal and you're going to be bloated, gassy, and feel terrible. And then the next day, the same foods are going to make you feel fine because he called and apologizes. But, you know, only let him do that once. Don't get into that cycle, people. Come on, you know. So I think there's a little bit too much of that extreme obsession with self-quantification. And if we're going to ask you about how you feel, then we have to go and say that sleep is the priority. Movement is another critical objective before we even do mix and match with our dietary choices. And again, with dietary choices, if you simply clean up your act and throw that crap out of your cupboard and make better decisions when dining out, you're going to do fine on a variety of different foods, probably, especially if you give yourself time to heal and, you know, you're a year down the road of eating healthy, natural, nutrient-dense foods and getting rid of the processed junk. So you asked me a while back about what do I do when I want to indulge sometimes and is there anything that leaks in there? And the answer is when I want to celebrate life, I make very, very informed and discretionary choices because those are the best. And so again, back to the farmer's market, this French guy called me over from the lane. He was such a promoter. He goes, "Monsieur, have you seen my offerings over here? I have this cake here is called flan parisien." So it was Parisian flan. And I'm like, "All right, man, you got me. I'll try that." And it was the most sensational, most delicious dessert I've ever had. It was a cross between cheesecake and flan. And I'm not going to go and have a slice every single day for the rest of my life, but I will be back next week to get some more fantastic baked good from that guy. It's not going to be a nutritional centerpiece of my diet. It's going to be for pleasure and indulgence and satisfaction. But as he described how the dessert was made, we're not talking about chemicals. We're not talking about the frozen Sara Lee cheesecake in the store that has an ingredient list of things that you can't pronounce. So when I indulge, I will drive across town and make it an evening destination to go and get the gourmet handmade ice cream and sit by the outside fireplace and enjoy time with friends and family. So I think that's the trick that most people can embrace, is that of course you don't have to live a Spartan lifestyle and not enjoy yourself, but there's a big difference between driving across town for a wonderful night out to get some gourmet handmade ice cream versus having Ben and Jerry's sitting there as a fixture on your digital shopping list and, oh, which flavor I'm going to get this time. Because corporate America and the giant food industry is pumping, you know, poisons down our throat without regard for our health. And I really feel strongly about standing up and taking a stand and saying, hey, go to your local farmer's market, support these people that are doing the best they can to give you the healthiest, nutritious foods and eat those to your enjoyment. Sure, you can test and see how, you know, this breakfast works versus fasting. But there's a great quote from my podcast guest, Jay Feldman, one of my favorites. He has the Energy Balance podcast. He's been on my BRAD podcast 4 times. And he says, if people claim that they feel better skipping breakfast instead of eating breakfast, we have to go back and look at what they're eating for breakfast. And I know that fasting periods can deliver phenomenal health benefits. We talk about those extensively in both the Keto Reset Diet and 2 meals a day. But if you want to get up in the morning and have a nutritious meal of fresh fruits from the farmer's market and pasture-raised eggs and perhaps a slice of that sourdough that I described, you should feel fine fueling yourself with good nutrition. And anything else that's coming along, it could be, you know, fallout from relying on stress hormones so often over the past 6 months because you were fasting too much, working out too hard, and just destroying your body and, you know, calling on the stress response rather than on nutrition. Sometimes you have to recalibrate from those things and, you know, just sit down and have calm, enjoyable meals with nutritious foods. You should expect to feel great.
I don't know about you guys, but I am stressed. And if you're feeling overwhelmed this holiday season, then I get it. With all the family get-togethers, it is just a relentless source of stress. But anyway, there is something that I've got called Stress Guardian, and it's actually made by Bioptimizers, the people who make the magnesium breakthrough, which I love, love, love. But anyway, they are literally made this new product. It has 14 adaptogenic herbs and it just regulates your stress. I just actually took some right this second and it's awesome. If you go to stressguardian.com/wasteaway and put in waste away for 10% off your first order, it's stressguardian.com/wasteaway. Go there now. Yeah, I want to end with one last thought. And, you know, it's easy to think of highly self-disciplined people as them being miserable or uptight. And, you know, it turns out, I think, that the people I've met that really exert self-control, that they actually are happier in the long run. And I believe that self-discipline leads to a more fun life and a happier life with more joy. I am one of those people. I barely drink. I've never been a drinker. I maybe drink a couple times a year. I think the most I've ever drank is 4 times a year. And, you know, I really am very self-disciplined with the food choices that I make. And so believing that having a more self-disciplined life leads to actually a better and actually a more fun life. I want you to comment on that, of what I just said, and how do you feel about that?
Oh, that's so beautiful, Chantel. That's what I love about you and your show, is coughing up those memorable quotes. It reminds me of a similar quote from the greatest marathon runner of all time, Eliud Kipchoge, 2-time Olympic gold medalist. He's the guy who ran a 1:59 for the marathon race. And he says, "Only the disciplined ones in life are free. Otherwise, you become a slave to your moods and your passions." And boy, now more than ever, we really need to reflect on that, because we're bombarded with, pleasure-inducing addictive behaviors, digital technology being the most prominent one. Then we have all the problems with substances and things that can really derail your life. But anyone who raises their hand and claims that they're not an addict, we really need to look carefully today, because it is one potential distraction after another, limiting us from that freedom and that pleasure that you describe when you can exert self-discipline. So everything we've said and everything that will be said in the next 20 shows, let's put that in the framework of, hey, everything's your choice, but when you make good choices, it unlocks the ability to make more good choices where you're in control rather than a slave to your moods and passions.
So good. And it's really about choosing between short-term pleasure and long-term pain, because I have to realize, like, if I made the short-term decision, like, I'm going to eat, you know, a bunch of this candy or junk and all of this, that is going to cause me joint pain. Like, I've now decided, like, me eating any kind of junk, I feel so terrible. Like, my joints start hurting. I don't feel good the next day. I don't have as much energy. And kind of doing that self-talk with myself and kind of reminding myself that self-discipline is fun. And I want to hang out with people who are self-disciplined. I'll give you a perfect example. This past weekend, a friend of mine, we met in Miami, and she was talking about some other friends of ours who were at, you know, we have one friend of ours who's like a billionaire, and he threw all these huge parties, and it was in Aspen, and she was like, "You would not believe, these people were drinking at like starting at 11 a.m. We didn't get invited to it, by the way. And they started drinking at 11 a.m. and were drinking all night long. She's like, "I don't know how they did it. You know, this was crazy." And, you know, in my opinion, at first when she was telling me about it, they had all these private chefs and all this food and this and that. Everything was so wonderful. And then my first thought was, I was, you know, feeling like, oh, man, I wish we could have gone. Then once she started talking about all they did was, you know, drink from 11 o'clock in the morning till, you know, midnight every night and just drink, I thought, oh, I'm glad that I wasn't there, because that's not my Emma. That's not what I want. That's not what I want for my family. You know, my husband is not a big drinker either. And so, you know, what sounds fun to me is going on a walk or going on a hike or let's go bike riding or let's do yoga, or that's what I would get excited about, not just let's just stuff our face and drink the whole time. And so it's just a change in mindset of really kind of saying to yourself, what do I want to associate with? Who do I want to associate with? and who's the crowd of people that I want to take my life to the next level with.
Love it. I'm well, on board.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
That I haven't asked you today that you want to share with listeners. Maybe they're in a lull or they're kind of in a weight loss stall or kind of just, you know, they've done all the things. I get a lot of emails that are like, I've done this. And I'm in a rut right now. Close us out with what would you do if someone's in a weight loss stall? They want to get out of it. Where would you start?
Number one, it's okay. So accept that you're in a rut or that you've derailed a little bit and you fell off. Because when we beat ourselves up about that, or when we feel disappointment from not achieving the goals that we've set out, that is how we create the rut and stay in the rut. So when you can release the attachment of your self-esteem to the outcome of the pursuits that you have and just accept where you are today, that is your starting point to have these sort of automatic snowball successes that we dream about. The first step is to let go. I know it sounds strange, but then you are free to make empowering choices rather than listening to that mean voice on your shoulder that's calling you a loser because you derailed and made bad choices. So clean the slate, clean the books off, try to cultivate a little gratitude. I know you can't manufacture that, but even if you fake it till you make it, like I've had great experts like John Gray, the relationship coach, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. He says, you're allowed to fake it till you make it in a relationship if you're having dysfunction and struggle. You wake up, you smile. Hi, honey, how are you? Can I get you some coffee? I know you were an asshole to me the day before, but we are going to turn over a new leaf and a new life. So do that for yourself. You deserve to have a fresh start. Cultivate some gratitude for how far you've come to this point today and realize that if you just, appreciate the process of personal growth, rather than fixate on outcomes, that is going to be the key to, future success. And boy, I had to learn this the hard way, Chantel, because I was a professional triathlete in my youth. That was my game for 9 years. I raced on the pro circuit, and I felt like it was so important, and I wanted to win so bad, and I was willing to push my body so hard to get the victory and become famous and get all the attention. But when I got that mindset of fixating on victory, that's when I pushed my body too hard and made mistakes. When I instead reflected on the great privilege that I had to do this career that I've always dreamed about and to be able to get on my bike and explore the mountains and have a wonderful day out there challenging my body and taking good care of my body, that's when the results happened naturally when I cultivated what I call a pure motivation. So I want all the listeners, viewers now, to cultivate a pure motivation toward dietary change or toward fitness progress such that you enjoy the workout for the sake of enjoying the workout and how it makes your body feel without regard to what it says on the scale when you go home and frown because you're not on track like you thought. Just forget all that judgment and that nonsense that the world's forcing on us and, go about it for a pure motivation.
I love it. Well, I will end with this. I believe a self-discipline is an act of self-love because it strengthens us. It brings us to the ultimate life that we want. It is the foundation on which we build our success. And I believe your life and what you've demonstrated just shows when I was just looking at your website, I was thinking, here is a guy who has built his life on being self-disciplined. And that is truly an act of self-love and the strength that it brings, the foundation of your success and where it comes from, all is at the root of self-discipline. And you have been such a wonderful example for all of us to follow. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Chantel. Now I better not get distracted and watch YouTube videos this afternoon. I better focus on my book since you're giving me these, these kudos. I'm gonna live by that now. That's awesome.
I love it. Well, thanks so much for being with us. And you guys stay tuned. We've got another episode coming up in just a few. Bye-bye for now.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoy the podcast, it would mean the world to us for you to leave a review on iTunes to get this podcast out to others that may have the same questions that you do. And as always, if you have a question that you want answered, email those to questions@chantelrayway.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.